on Vision Australia Radio. Welcome to Vision Sports.
The following is an interview highlight from Vision Sport, a lively, informative sports program which looks at all the latest sports news and delves into some of the lesser-known sports as well. Listen live every Saturday from 10:30 a.m. on your local Vision Australia radio station. Visit varadio.org for more details.
You're listening to Vision Sports here on Vision Australia Radio. It's just gone 11 o'clock. You've got Natalie Cave, Matt Lee, George Grosios and Roger Ewan. And we are in the midst of talking a bit of world football. We're just wrapping up the Matildas and the A-League before the break. And now we've got a very special guest on the line. We've got Sebastian Petrovic. He's a former NSL player and he now is a qualified blind soccer referee. He's been doing it for almost 10 years now. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning. Thank you for giving me a call.
No problem at all. So we just before we got in line, we were just saying, of course, you're a former National Soccer League player, but your real passion these days is refereeing blind soccer. Tell us, first of all, how you got into that.
Oh, it was basically being in the audience where it all started, where I had an opportunity to sort of fly to Japan and watch some tournaments, and there I was watching the Asian Championship, and I thought to myself, wow, the way these referees are moving, it must have a task to be a referee. And I thought, okay, how would I be able to be one? So then I just followed up on becoming qualified as a futsal referee and things like that, and then I followed the pathway plan, and then all of a sudden I got invited to basically, you know, just to be a qualified referee by going to Malaysia and doing the special course, which is an amazing opportunity.
Did you want to, so just for listeners who haven't seen blind soccer before, just tell us a bit of the differences between blind soccer and for those that, you know, obviously the sighted soccer that we see being played all around us.
Yeah, it's, you know, most people ask the question, how is it possible and what's the differences? Mainly it's the size of the court, which is sort of shortened in the futsal size court, which is 20 metres by 40. And they have two kickboards on left and right sides to help the players, you know, keep the ball into the perimeter of the play. And with sections of the actual ground, which would be put in thirds, you'd have a defensive and a middle and attacking third, where certain guides and coaches are helping the players on the pitch, instructing them, you know, where they are and stuff like that, and helping each other out as much as possible. And it's really sort of a lot of focus for the players and referees. So it's a shorter size pitch, but also it's you know, very structured as well, the way the game's played, and it's a lot of stoppages as well, a lot more stoppages while the game's on, especially if the ball goes out or over the kickboards and stuff like that. So being an outside, like 11 versus 11, it's always played normally on grass, but the surfaces are different surfaces they use in the futsal as well.
I suppose the communication, Seb, is really important as well between player and referee, because it is a different game. The concept is, although, you know, the actual normal part of the fabric of the game remains the same, there's still a few other little side things that where the referee and player have to communicate and connect a little bit more efficiently.
Yeah. There's always, you know, when you're at the competitive level, there's always people, you know, trying to find, you know, that way of just not cheating, but just sort of find that competitive nature to win. And we've got to be on our game to tell the coaches, you know, you can't talk when the ball's in the defensive side and give instructions. You can't talk to the players when it's in the attacking side. You can only talk when it's in the middle. Things like that. But also being able to be aware that we as referees have to make sure that we're safe as well, because if we start seeing players running at us, and you know, we have to be able to, okay, you know, get out of that, you know, sort of like that situation by looking after our own safety, because players can't see us and they can crash straight into us as well. So definitely communication is important, and keeping it simple to these players and letting them know what's happened, whose free kick is it, for instance, where do I stand and stuff like that. because they can't see. And there's so many situations and moments in the game that we sort of have to really multitask and making sure that two referees on the pitch, which are officiating game, normally it's one and two. The number one is the final guy that blows the whistle and makes the final decision. But they both have to be always in the right position and also be synchronized out there as two referees. So it's quite particular when you're trying to multitask and let everyone know on the pitch what's actually happened or what's going to happen.
Sebastian, tell us a little bit more about the actual competition or competitions you referee in.
Well, the we had a sort of a lower sort of what they classify as B2 and B3 league over the last 2 years in Melbourne, which was held at South Melbourne Lakeside and also up in the Docklands there. And we have a growing development here to try and find enough participants in the league. But unfortunately, we don't have the highest level of B1 league in Melbourne yet or Australia. So I've had to basically take the opportunity to officiate in a game in a tournament called the World Grand Prix, which was held in 2018, where I had my first opportunity to be in a professional tournament, which was in the middle of Tokyo, which ran for 5 days. And it gave an opportunity for all the international teams around the world to come together to Tokyo and start preparing for the Paralympic Tokyo Olympics in 2020 as a 3-year plan. And I was very lucky to be one of the Oceania referees to be invited to the tournament there and able to learn all the different roles as a referee, not only on the pitch but also as a substitute referee, where we take each player off safely and bringing on the players safely and making sure that they're not clashed. And also different roles like timekeeper roles, and also the scorer who keeps all making sure who scores and what time they score and all those different things. So there's quite a number of roles being in the staff as a referee and not just the actual number one and number two. They have number three, number four, number five and number six as well. So there's a lot to learn.
Sebastian, you've touched on the B1 team. For the benefit of our listeners, what is the difference between the B1 side, the B2 and the B3 teams?
Yeah, with a B2 and B3, they have partially sort of levels of their vision, so some can partially see. They've got some sort of sight. The rules of the B2 and B3 are pretty much like a futsal. The rules that they follow are 20 by 40 court with two goalkeepers and two referees normally. And they basically don't have the kickboards on the right and left sides to stop the ball from going over, which is used for the B1 level where they hold onto the board and they sort of can, trap the ball in the corners and stuff like that where the ball doesn't go out on the sides. And basically behind the goals in the B1, they have a guy called or a girl or whatever they've got on the team as a guide to clap and tap the post to sort of indicate to the B1 players where the goal is and when to shoot and things like that, and basically listening to instructions to find the way to score the goal. And the two goalkeepers in B1 level are the only two players on the actual ground that can actually use their vision and who can be sighted, but they can't basically run into the players' areas. It can only span a really restricted little goalkeeper area box where their role is to make sure that the defenders are moving left and moving right to stop and block the goals and things like that. So it's quite a lot of information given to the players from B1 level.
Now, talking about B1, so last year we had the first Australian blind football B1 team going across and competing internationally. I think they went a tour of India. How did they go there?
I think they did, an unbelievable job to fly there as a group and play. And I think they were in it for a long, long time. I mean, the other team didn't score. It was a 2-0 loss, but they took a lot out of it. And I think they were really, really hardworking and aggressive. And they just ran out of steam a bit, which is normal because it's the intensity over there and the heat and humidity took a lot out of them, and they played a second game within a couple of days, which was good. But it was more about just getting themselves in the high-intensity game and making sure that they, you know, they learn the rules and learning how to play with one another and stuff like that. And it was a very, very valuable trip for the Australian national team, and I think they're only going to improve from that as well. So I thought they did fantastic.
Now, Sebastian, I'll get you to put your promoter's hat on for a moment. There is an upcoming training camp. If you can tell our listeners a little bit more about that camp, please.
Oh, look, we did have one in Sydney last year, but this time it's in Melbourne, and we're going to have it at Arden Street, which is at the back of the North Melbourne Football AFL Club. We have a special facility there for the camp. It's going to be run on the April the 13th and 14th, which is coming up to next Saturday and Sunday. So we'll be there, you know, making sure that we learn a lot more about the game, making sure we officiate in, you know, some friendly games within us, playing some training, some more skills, and it's going to give us a chance to get the people from Sydney and interstate to come together in Melbourne to learn as much as possible together. And it's going to be fantastic. David Connolly, who's done an unbelievable job over the years to get us all together and organising everything, is really, really going to be something special. And we're going to be heading towards the, I think, an Asian championship at the end of the year, which is, could be possible in September. Not sure which country yet, but that's just all in the pipeline.
Sorry, Sebastian, the camp, is that for existing players or is that also open to young players wanting to try out?
This is the one that we have selected Australian national players for B1 level, and the players who have been selected and stuff like that will be in this camp, staying in a hotel and then doing some sessions and stuff like that. So we do have other clinics for younger children who do come on Sundays and stuff like that, which is all on the Facebook page. But we, and this one, the important one, the national one, is for the adults, in the Australian national team already.
And that Facebook page you mentioned, that's Oz Blind Football, is that right?
Yes, Australian Blind Football, which has a great logo on there, yellow and green, which represents Australia, and has a fantastic information about, you know, what's happening and when it's happening and who's involved and what our bright future is going to look like.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sebastian. I hope the future of blind football here in Australia is very bright. And thanks so much for your passion and what you've done for the sport in your time with it.
Look, it's a huge thing to spread the word about sports and social inclusion and all abilities. And we can learn so much from everyone at any moment. So whether it's your voice or whether it's your body language, there's so much to learn. And I think it's an incredible opportunity for everyone to listen over the radio and see if they can ever be taking part in one of the games, even if you haven't got any vision or even if you do. So
just to experience it, yeah, it's important. But no, it's great insight, Sue.
Thank you so much for joining us. Hope we can chat again in the future and hear all about the upcoming tournaments later this year.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Sebastian. All the best.
On Vision Australia Radio,
you're listening to Vision Sports.